Okay, welcome back. Hour number three, and we're going to be talking to Karen Smith in about 10 minutes or so. I've got to go through this video, I promised, and I know that Gary will have some things he wants to add to it. Look at the top of the special feature on the homepage. Exposed, Las Vegas shooter at ground level. All right, this is from the video that Joe put up, and I've given him credit, of course, at the top. Full video, click here, you can watch it. And what I did was go through and pulled freeze frames out of it. I wanted to tell a story because what I saw in that video was extraordinary. Remember, this was taken by somebody in the crowd who was basically just kind of pointing the camera here, and wherever he happened to, or she happened to turn, that's where the camera was focused, and that's the digital video that we got. He also got audio, of course, which he said the F word when the shots went off. From this particular shooter, at least that's what I believe. It was very close, and it scared him even more. So let's pull that up. Gary, do you have that loaded up?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, for all of you, again, it's right at the top, exposed Las Vegas shooter at ground level. And I put this together on a rush today, so if there are any typos in it, I apologize, but we got it done, and it's up there, and I think it tells quite a story. Now, look at the top picture where the red writing is, and there are three arrows. All right, on your left appears to be an air conditioning unit on top of an RV. That long whitish rectangle that the black figure is standing on looks to me like a large bus-type recreational vehicle. It's got to be an RV. They have sometimes two, three air conditioners like that on top. On the right side, if you look, there's a bright light on that square building, whatever that is, and it's shining, reflecting on the front of the RV. And I think that RV, or motorhome, was brought up there as support for the entertainers. I'm just guessing, but they park them usually at venues. They'll go rest and whatever before their performance. Now, look at the center. Right smack in the middle is a black figure. Okay? I'm going to move down now to the next picture. Gary, tell us about that second picture that you kindly sent. It shows somebody in black with a mask on.
Yeah, see, that's what they would use in a like an ambush team. It's blackout. You know, it's basically a blackout. You know, gear, which is if you're in a venue, and you don't want to be detected. You want to blend into the shadows, you'll use that. Because you see, as you noticed, the ski mask, goes over the head.
Yeah.
Even goes into the turtle type of turtleneck thing, which is like more a lot of times Velcro. So it's like neck piece.
Uh-huh.
You have the gear, you have the web gear right there. You have the, and that weapon, you know, as I said, the weapon could vary what they were using. I don't know what type of rifle they were using. But that's typical type of rifle you would have. You see how they have all the gear and basically it's kind of like a jumpsuit, basically.
Right.
It's kind of like a jumpsuit. Sometimes they're two piece, where you could have like a blouse and the pants, and that way, the gloves are, you know, usually they would have a darker pair of gloves. This guy here in this picture is wearing like kind of like a white glove, but at the end where the fingers are. But normally they'd have like dark gloves, and actually the fingers themselves would be cut out. In other words, the fingers would be exposed because you want, you know, you're shooting, so you don't want to be, you know, you're not going to wear gloves over the fingers. Yeah. And so that would be exactly what you would be using, especially if you're in a group of like six men, seven men in the crowd.
Yeah.
They could easily not be detected and go in and out of the shadows and stuff like that.
That's probably an AK variant of some kind with a 30 round mag, it looks like.
Yeah. Okay. Close. Yeah, something like that. Actually, it might be a.
Might even be 40, huh?
Yeah, maybe. It's hard to tell.
Well, anyway, that's a short. That's a carbine type. I think that's a folding stock.
Definitely a folding stock. Yeah.
And it'll fold to the side. Okay, so that's what we want to keep in mind. That basic idea when you're looking at that black figure up on top of what I believe to be an RV or a motorhome. Okay, let's scroll down below the guy with the ski mask on, and the first picture. Now, this is of that black shape up on top of the RV. It almost looks like it could be two people. I'm not saying it is, but it could be. One of them might have hit the ground and crawled. We don't know. But that's a picture of a larger, that's not a shadow. That's an individual. That's a mass up there. Second picture below that, if you look at the objects on top of what I think is a motorhome, you'll see that that person has moved, or one of them has moved to the right. And you can see right down at the end of the object that is between us and that person, you can see a leg. It goes all the way down. Okay? Now let's go down to the next one. He'll move continually to the right again. Now the next one, he's further over, and I've enlarged it even more, and you can see what appear to be two legs. I'm not saying those are necessarily two legs. They could be his upper arms, which are giving the width to it. We don't know, but he's not being obscured by anything on top of the RV at that point. He's in between two things. There's one to the right and one to the left of that figure. If you look carefully, you'll see it. The next one down is a typical grab from the video. It's not enlarged. That's what the video basically looks like, which you'll see when you look at it. And you can see very clearly there's something on top of that motorhome. I'm going to call it that for until I find out otherwise, who is standing and moving to the right, which you will see again on the video. And there's a closer shot, and you can see that person is definitely up there. And if you look to the right on the top of the motorhome, you'll see between the objects on the roof, there's a flat spot toward the front where this person, I believe, was headed to assume a prone shooting position. He's probably 12 feet above the crowd, and the crowd's probably 50 feet at the most away from him. It's a shooting fish in a barrel. Now, the next one is very interesting. It's the next to last one, and it shows what looks like someone leaning forward, leaning to the right, someone who's getting ready to go down on top of the motorhome to assume a prone shooting position. All right, Gary, at this point, what do you see?
Exactly what I see. He would be going into the prone position, and actually, I can even tell you, he got on top of that camper, which it looks like an RV. He could even be one of them tow-type RVs, even. It's hard to say, but what you know, all these RVs have them ladders on the side.
Correct.
Where you put like a luggage rack on top of a roof type thing. So he would have went up on that roof through that ladder. Again, probably from the rear end, which is looks like that's where he's coming from the rear end of that camper to the front end of that camper. And as people are going by, they're not looking up. They're looking straight ahead, trying to get out of there.
No, nobody's looking up.
As they're
up.
Doing that, they're being pecked off. And that's exactly what he would be in the prone position, and he would be down position, and he would just be right at the edge. And that's where exactly he'd be in the prone position, right at the very edge of the front of that camper.
Right.
And he'd just be aiming straight down, and it would just be, it'd be like shooting a fish in a barrel.
It's really sick. The next picture, the caption above it says, a larger freeze frame of the same scene. So you can back off a little bit, get a little bit better resolution. Understand, you can see that, to me, it's clearly a motorhome of some kind pulled up there on the outside of that fence. So he's not shooting yet. He's getting into position. This is early on. Next picture is an enlargement. I pulled back in so you can get another look at it. And then we'll go down to the next one. And this is the last one. The last one is different. And you'll notice he's moved further to the right. You can see what appears to be his head far forward and his shoulders and back to the left side. And I think he's getting ready to go down into the prone position on top of that motorhome, and you'll see a picture of a prone position right below that. What do you think?
If you can remember right, the guy in the video said, hey, now watch this, he disappears. And I don't know what happened to him after that. Well, he disappeared because you had some obstructions on the roof of that, like a luggage rack or whatever it is, the AC part. There's also maybe an exhaust fan for the bathroom, if there's a bathroom on there.
Right.
You know, whatever. And he is in
he
the
went
prone
right
position
down behind
at that
it.
Point.
Yeah.
Yep, he went right down behind it. He would be in prone position. Like I said, as people are scrambling, they're not looking up. And then, boom, you know, it's fish in the barrel time.
He's not going to be standing
a position
up.
Position that anybody who's doing an ambush would take.
Yeah.
It would
That's a perfect shot.
And,
perfect shot.
Exactly.
He's so again, he's not going to stand up and shoot. Remember that. He's not going to shoot from knees. No. He's going to lay down, so he presents no visual image to anybody, basically. And he'll have
with that blacked out, you got to understand the blacked out gear, kind of probably a little bit shadowy on the roof of that, on that, even though, it looks like that thing would be bright on top of the roof. It's not, because there's different angles where these lights are coming from buildings, and probably some of them are spotlights that were part of the concert, but there's shadowy areas are there, and it just, you would literally just blend into the roof of that. Even if the roof is white, which it looks like it is, it's one of them RV type things you see towed down the road, or driving a Winnebago, whatever it is, you know, motorized or tow or a trailer type.
Yeah.
But when, as soon as he goes down in that the prone position, you ain't gonna see nothing.
No.
I think you're just gonna hear the sound of the fire. That's all you're gonna see, and that's what it's designed. That's why they wear that stuff. That's what it's designed to do.
Now you're a military Marine veteran, and he would have had a muzzle suppressor on that too, for flash suppressor. Most
definitely.
Likely.
Well, it would be some type of muzzle suppressor. But even with a suppressor, as you can tell in that video, it still is loud. You never can do it, especially on an automatic. You're never going to suppress anything. It might muffle, and what that's designed to do is just to, so you don't. You don't get a pinpoint area where the shots are coming from, which is what they want. Right. You see, again, you know, I just got to say this again. You know, whoever wants to go down the rabbit path, this rabbit hole of it was a fake setup, whatever. I just want all these people claiming this. Give me one good answer. Why would they go through all this trouble to do a fake shooting, whatever, and why not just kill people? And if you can give me a good answer why they would go through this elaborate scheme of the setup, what benefits them more by doing that than just going and killing people?
And in the elaborate scheme, Las Vegas would be notified by FEMA, and they never in a million years would allow anything like this. They'd sue the federal government before they allowed anything like this.
A live fire drill? Drill for what? Again, what are you drilling for?
Right.
I mean, if these guys are drilling, that means they're there. It's a drill to learn something. Okay, well, what are they learning? I don't even get that, because you could do that in a contained environment. You can do that in a foreign country. You wouldn't do it where by the way, the media was there like thick and thin because of O.J. Simpson being released from prison.
Right.
During that same weekend.
Exactly.
Okay. So I just get so angry, because what it is a lot of people, they went so far down this path, their ego just will not allow them
to back
to
up.
Turn around.
Uh-uh.
They refuse to. They, no matter what, they will just say, well, no, it was, I looked at the pictures of Billy. You could literally see the exit wound. You could see the flesh of the exit wound, and you could see, obviously, it was cleaned off because he's in the hospital bed. They cleaned off the wound, and there's not much you can do. That is a exit wound. You can see even where the actual bullet trailed out of his chest area even. And for them, for people to say and write nasty notes to the poor woman who basically, she went through her story. These people, what do these people have to gain by faking this? They have kids. These people just live regular lives. And so, because they want to be some Craigslist, they're saying, they're accusing these people of being Craigslist heroes or Craigslist warriors. It's so retarded. It's a mentally ill person would say that. I'm sorry.
I agree. I totally agree.
They can do what they want about me, and I've read some stuff they said about me. Fine, go say what you want. You know, go swing for the fences. Go do what you got to do. But you know what? I know what I see with my own eyes, and I can see it plain as day. I live here in this town. I'm not up in some mountain somewhere. I'm not in some, I'm sorry for the way, BS, bullshit land where I was running intel ops, and then magically, all of a sudden, I'm a fucking patriot. I'm sorry for the language. It's just making me so mad hearing these stories of these people.
Right.
And they're getting being terrorized by assholes who just don't have anything better to do but to try and make these people out to be some type of fake liars. These people are not fake liars. You're dealing with people's lives, and these people are just normal people just trying to move on with their life. The woman, obviously, you're going to have PTSD. Obviously, just by how she explained how she was in that hospital will tell you the woman was frightened out of her soul. She was out of her mind. And for people to sit there in the background and spew this puke out of their mouth, they really should look in the mirror and really really go get get at least do say they want to claim their religion, a Christian, whatever they want. Well, they need to read the Bible just a little bit more, and maybe if they're into that, and answer to themselves and look in the mirror and say, you know what, man, I think something's maybe a little bit wrong in my life where I'm actually spewing this garbage. It's just too much. It's just I'm so angry, and you know, I just don't like hearing that because it's just it's ridiculous at this point, especially when you attack the actual
survivors, the people who somehow got through it.
Like I said, you want to attack my opinions, you want to attack my theory. You know, like I said, go swing for the fences. Go ahead at it. I don't care. I really don't care. You can say what they want. They can say whatever. That's fine. Go do what you got to do. But when you start sending these messages to this woman and saying this and that, this is a mother with kids just going to a concert, minding their own damn business, and her husband was shot. You know, at least have a little sympathy for the woman. Have a little, just a slight bit of sympathy.
Well, you're asking for a lot from somebody. These people are psychopaths. They're really sick, or they're on the payroll, and both will apply in that case. You can't do this if you're a normal person. And some of the comments up there are they're just coming from Planet Evil. There's no other way to phrase it. I don't know of any. And I've gotten some pretty ugly stuff too. Hey, have at it. Have fun. I'll keep reporting it as I see it. For the rest of my life. I always have. Gary's done a magnificent job of laying this out. Former Marine, hero of America, served this country, patriot. He's been there in Africa, Middle East. He knows. So, yeah, as he said, go for the fences. Have at it.
Yeah, like I said, swing for the fences because, you know, I'm an average person. I'm not no special. I you know me, Jeff. I live an average life. I do. I don't live a spectacular life. I'm not this wild, you know, imagination. Look, I see what I see, and I'm going to say what I see. I'm not going to sit there and say there's speakers on top of buildings. I'm not going to say there's fake people running around with big bottles of fake blood. I mean, come on. I mean, I could say if you're in a 4x4 room, but you're in a venue with thousands of people running around, and they just didn't stuff like this.
No.
You wouldn't fake.
No.
You couldn't fake it because there would be too many leaks, too many loose ends.
Absolutely.
And you know what? It's just too much.
Too much.
It's too much. I
understand.
It goes for the trolls, but also goes for Metro and the FBI and the supposed these investigators. These people are not doing any service to the victims like Billy, like other victims who had their family members die, and playing this crap game of Keystone Cops, Andy and Mayberry attitude, the sloppy investigating. How these people didn't, you know what gets me, Jeff? It amazes me that they didn't get one follow-up from no detective from Metro, no detective, no agent from the FBI, nothing. They just basically said, well, you got shot, well. The wife had a lot of good eyewitness testimony, how the girl next to her got shot, how it would never have been possible for what was coming from Mandalay. But no investigator even has the courtesy to follow up, at least to even make it look like they're interested in finding the truth out of this.
No,
they don't
following,
even do that.
They're following
None of
directions.
The victims even getting any, no justice, no nothing for these people.
No.
It's horrible.
No, it is. It is really. It's despicable is what it is, and worse. Gary, thanks very much for everything.
All right, Gary.
I think what we did is we really put another dimension of this crisis up on the table for people to look at. We've got the pictures now of this guy on top of the motorhome. It's black and white. It's right there. Take a look at it. All right, Gary, thanks very much. Talk to you soon. Great job.
And I have to apologize, Jeff, for the profanity. I'm sorry to the audience. They didn't deserve to hear the profanity. But my anger.
You got a heart. This
family,
and I understand.
When I hear that, and I just, that just, this does, no, it's just too much. Leave the lady alone.
I agree.
Please.
I agree.
Just leave her alone. I mean, she did her thing. Just leave the way, leave the family alone. Look, they've been through enough. And they're going to go through this rest of their life. And at least give them the courtesy to leave them alone and stop trolling these people. And, you know, maybe go back to your burgers, whatever you got to do, your gaming or your Xbox, whatever you got to do, go ahead and go for it. But at least leave these people alone, please.
Couldn't said it any better. Thanks, Gary. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
All right. Good night. Okay. Let's switch over now and bring Karen Smith on. And we're going to talk about another horror event that's going on all the time in South Africa. All the time. White families, men, women, grandparents, children, babies being butchered. Horrible murders constantly in South Africa. It's not slowing down, it's picking up. And Karen has been involved with us for quite some time. She's extremely articulate. And we're very glad to have her back tonight. Hello, Karen. Thank you for the extra time you loaned out. I appreciate it.
Oh, Jeff, it was an absolute pleasure. I feel exactly the anger that Gary was expressing at the end there. The fact that people have no sympathy whatsoever, it applies to the South African situation as well. Because the awful things that are said to people like yourself, myself, Mel V, anyone who speaks out about it, we must be white supremacist types who want neo-Nazis who just want to slaughter black people. We're racist. We're all kinds of horrible, horrible things. If you read my emails, you would probably, some days I just sit and cry because I cannot understand the lack of sympathy, the lack of empathy, the sheer unkindness of people in general.
It's inhuman. It's not human. It's subhuman. It doesn't compute, and it doesn't equate to the kind of living, sentient beings we're supposed to be. Todd, I got to go through this break, too. I'm sorry. I need to cover this with Karen. She's been very kind, and I know our sponsors will understand. These are very difficult times for all of us, and we are... Thanks to our sponsors, and please do patronize them. They make this all possible.
So, Jeff, what I would like to speak about, first and foremost, because this is big on my mind at the moment, the crime statistics for the last year were released this week.
Oh, yeah.
And it is absolutely horrifying. You know, when looks at crime every day in South Africa. For instance, we had 12 farm attacks and 4 murders in 24 hours last week.
God.
In 24 hours.
It's getting worse. It's getting worse.
It is. And there are, I'll come to the threats after I've told you these figures. But these figures hit so hard because everyone is issued with a caveat saying, these statistics may not reflect reality, you know. So I'll give you the stats and then I'll give you what other people think about it. So they've come to the conclusion that there are 52 murders per day in South Africa.
But, 52 a day, all right.
But, Jeff, the Medical Research Council statistics reveal that 89 murders are committed on average every day in South Africa. And Interpol claims that it's double that.
178 murders a day. That's Interpol.
Per day in South Africa.
And the majority of blacks and whites, how would that break out? Do you have any guess?
I would say approximately the same as the number of people. So I would say it's probably 80% black, 3% Indian, 2% colored, and 2% white.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you know, when you only have 3.5 million whites, 2% of them every day getting slaughtered.
Ah, oh, man.
You know, I just, there was another number released that 500,000 murders have been committed in South Africa since 1994. That's black and white. But if you take Interpol's figures, it's over a million.
Really?
Yes, over a million murders.
1994, that's 23 years.
Yes.
A million murders. This is this country doesn't merit being called a country anymore.
No, that's, it isn't. No. I mean, that is bigger than any level of war. Now, Jeff, I don't want to sound unfeeling, but you had four soldiers killed the other
day.
Yes. Which is an awful thing. It is an awful thing. But if you think about it, there are at least two murders in South Africa every hour, if even if you take only the police figures.
Wow. Wow.
And the world doesn't look.
No. Not one word from the Trump administration, not one word from Congress,
not one congressman
or congresswoman has the guts to even speak South Africa anything. They won't even talk about it. This is our greatest shame, that we turn our back on slaughter. I don't care what color the people are, but in this case, they happen to be white. We happen to be white. This is, I'm not sure what planet this is anymore. It's not the one I grew up on.
Jeff, and now we need to talk about rape. Now, according to the medical services worldwide, they say that maybe 25% of rapes are reported. Maybe. So, the police say that 109 rapes are recorded each day in South Africa. Now, think about this. South Africa is 1.5 times the size of Texas. If you had these things happening in Texas, would there not be an absolute, the army would be sent in, for heaven's sake.
Oh, yeah. And figure 109 reported rapes a day?
Yes. And they say about
we can double that or quadruple it. 500 a day, maybe.
Yeah. At least 4 times that. And then there's sexual assault on top of that. But now we need to talk about, we talked about the murder rate, but that is nothing. Common assaults, 467 assaults with the intent to inflict grievous bodily harm every day. 467 per day. And then common assault, which is not with a gun or a knife, 428 per day. Robberies. Robbery with aggravating circumstances, 386 per day.
I don't mean to laugh, but this is not a functional country. These are not intelligent, civilized people.
No.
No, doesn't happen.
No, and they say that only 56% of victims report the crimes. So 61 household robberies per day. Per day.
Wow.
And then, Jeff, you and I and other people like us get told that we are racist or we are neo-Nazis for talking about this.
I don't ever read comments, so I don't know, but I believe you, and I'm sure they're saying lots of unpleasant things about me. I couldn't care less, but, you know, that's what these people are. That's who they are. There's really nothing to them. They're inhuman, subhuman, and they can lay no claim to be an advanced, intelligent species. They are less and lower than animals. So-called animals don't do what these people do. They don't randomly just kill people. They don't do it.
And they don't kill them that viciously and with malice of forethought.
No, that's right.
I read an article about how they target you for robbery in South Africa. And I was horrified. They will watch you for 3 or 4, maybe 5 days. And then they come to get an 80-year-old bedridden granny. And they come in gangs of no less than 4, but generally 6 or 8. So it takes 6 strong, young, black men to overpower a bedridden 80-year-old granny. I mean, Jeff, I understand the anger of your previous guest because my blood pressure is off the charts this week. I can't anymore because I was speaking to some people in South Africa. Now that they are not, scared type people and they're not people who spread rumors. And they have been told and told me that as of tomorrow, the 28th, the blacks in South Africa are threatening to kill 4,000 whites per night.
Oh, no. Now, wait a minute. This has now been voiced by some blacks down there. They've got a target number and they're talking about this.
Yes, openly on Twitter and Facebook. Openly. And those comments are never taken down by either of those places.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Anyway, so if you think about, I don't know if you know about the plans for Uhuru, which means freedom, but they've been planning Uhuru since long before Mandela died, and it was supposed to happen on the day of his funeral. But shortly before that, black taxis in South Africa started putting bumper stickers on saying Uhuru, not yet. And it kind of faded into the background. Mm-hmm. Now, their plan was that within 48 hours, they could wipe out almost the entire white population in South Africa. Now, that sounds ridiculous to an American, but you are the majority here. So it would be ridiculous.
40 million against 3.5 million.
Yes.
And yes, they're talking about killing all the whites, 3.5 million whites, in 48 hours.
48 hours, yes.
One of the biggest genocides in history. This has got to stop.
Now, you can imagine my yeah, worry and my sleepless nights. I have a large family still in South Africa.
Yeah.
Who are unable to get out. For love or money, they cannot get out. And some of them don't want to. And some of them are libtards who have their heads firmly
sand. Yeah, that's right.
I just stopped myself right there.
Yeah.
But, you know, who don't see anything wrong. So I'm very, very worried about this because even if this does not happen, even if it is only being put out there to scare the whites even more, you know that Blackland First and the EFF have said that as of the 31st of December, they are coming for the whites and the white property by any means necessary. Because according to them, land redistribution has not gone fast enough. And the whites that stole their land refused to give it back.
Uh-huh.
And so they're going to come and take it.
When is this land acquisition with no compensation supposed to formally start? That's already been declared by the government in South Africa.
It has been, but it's held up in the courts because there are people arguing it.
I see.
And that is what is causing the...
Oh, I see. I get it. Yeah. I get
the
connection.
And the unprecedented EFF takeovers of every single piece of spare land in South Africa.
Uh-huh.
They are just occupying land, putting up shacks, and fighting the police. I mean, the police are firing rubber bullets and tear gas and all kinds of things to try and get them off the land. Because the law in South Africa says if you have been in a place for 24 hours, you cannot be evicted unless the person who owns that place provides you with a place to live.
Wow. Well,
so if you, for instance, went on vacation.
Oh, I got it. Sure.
And came home and found squatters in your house.
Yeah. You lose.
You can't get rid of them.
No.
You cannot get rid of them.
This is clearly designed against white property owners, obviously.
And then, Jeff, another thing that happened this week that had me absolutely in tears. South African Family Relief Project. Now, you know that is a very near and dear to my heart, that charity.
Yes.
They battled to register a charity in South Africa because, you know, if you're not BEE compliant and service only the blacks, then you cannot register a charity. So they found a loophole and registered a non-profit company, not a non-profit organization. And for 3 years now, that's been fine. They've been working fine. Well, about 3 weeks ago, the government got fed up with this and demanded to see their BBE statistics, etc., shut down their PayPal accounts, shut down their bank, froze them, their bank accounts and their PayPal accounts. So they're left with absolutely no access to money. Now, there have been 58,000 job losses in South Africa this year. Another 1,000 coming in the next week from one of the mines Elaine put off. Uh-huh. And an estimated 1 million by the end of the year.
In 2 months. Well,
that's not all whites. That's not all whites. But,
right,
there are already over 1 million whites destitute. Now, with this latest loss of jobs, the decrease in the value of the rand, the big, big foreign companies leaving South Africa, what is going to happen to the white people? Because we can't even send the money anymore.
You're not allowed to send money into South Africa?
Well, you can, but where are you going to send it to if they're shutting the charity's bank accounts down? How are you going to send the money?
Wow.
I'm absolutely at a loss for words, Jeff. They have closed every single door to helping whites in South Africa.
And nothing from the UN, nothing from any other, forget Zimbabwe, no other African country that I've ever heard has said anything about this. They're all blacks.
Because
none of them, right?
Mugabe is revving everybody up. But did you hear what the World Health Organization did?
Yes, I laughed. Go ahead, tell them.
Oh, my Lord. So they appoint Robert Mugabe, the biggest murderer and killer of his own people.
Yeah.
Of his own people. They appoint him Goodwill Ambassador. And the whites in South Africa think that these people are going to come and help them. Really? All right, it's been changed. They've taken his appointment away because of the outcry worldwide. But the fact remains, if these people, like the UN, think that man is a goodwill ambassador, then there is no hope for the white South Africans whatsoever of help coming from anywhere else.
Now, we have done several programs on Good Hope.
Yes.
The declared secessionist new nation of Good Hope.
Yes. Paperwork and political stuff to be done. Mm-hmm. They need to prove that they are able to govern. So what they're doing right now is putting a constitution in place, putting a shadow government in place. Obviously, once it's accepted and once people are able to vote, they will vote their own people in. But for the moment, mm-hmm. they need to have every government position filled with correct people to prove to the UN, the infamous UN, that they are able to govern. Now, much as I love the people of South Africa, the Afrikaners are a very contentious lot. And you put more than three of them in a room at the same time, and they will never agree on anything. So it's becoming a bit of a bun fight in the background about who's acceptable to who. And it's taking longer than we ever expected that it would do. So that is what the problem is right now, is dotting the I's and crossing the T's, getting all the legalities in place. Meanwhile, the world press, the ANC, and the EFF are ignoring it in the hopes that it will just go away. It is not. There is an enormous amount of work going on in the background.
What? I've got to ask, what was the official media response to this, if any, about the announcement?
Nothing.
Nothing. So they just, okay, they stonewalled it. All right, I figured
nothing.
They would.
Nothing. Jeff, you, I, Mel V, and a couple of other stations like Ken Gibbardon have spoken about it.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Huh. Nobody. However, it is hopeful that Breitbart has begun reporting on South Africa. I've never seen a report on South Africa with them before. And the other ray of hope here is that the FBI and the UK intelligence services have opened an investigation into the state capture of South Africa by the Guptas. So one can only hope that that brings some kind of spotlight on South Africa.
Well, we have to get, yes. If we don't get onto the mainstream media platform, we go nowhere. We've got to have to, and I'm horrified to think if it takes the murder of several thousand whites a day, the massacre, to get the kind of media attention we should be getting now, God help us all. This is not the way it's supposed to happen. And don't, for all of you listening, don't think it couldn't happen. It could happen.
Jeff, my biggest fear, and I've been saying this for a couple of years now, is that we are going to wake up one morning and say, where have all the white people of South Africa gone? Because it is perfectly feasible that in 48 hours, they could have killed most of them. It is perfectly feasible.
Oh, my.
And it scares the hell out of me.
All right. I don't expect any inside information here. But after all of these years of realizing that the blacks who run that country are interested in genocide and theft, there have to be organizations of whites who are armed, who are going to, if this starts to happen, they're going to fight. They're not going to lie down and roll over. There have to be. Where are they? I don't know. I would think and I'd hope that they would retreat to an area that is defensible. Except how could the masses move? They would be butchered in the tracks that they make trying to walk out.
Exactly. Because, Jeff, if a third of the white population is in these camps, I don't want to call them squatter camps because they're not really, whatever you want to call them, informal settlements. I don't care what you call them, really.
Right.
But a third of the white population is in horrific circumstances.
Yes.
Where they can't educate, their kids can't go to school. They don't have vehicles. They don't have an address. They don't have money. What are they going to do? And most of the white camps, like Munsieville, is on the edge of a black squatter camp that is three times the size of the white
one. Oh, they just overrun it and kill them all.
Yes. Yes. That already happened about towards the end of last year. The blacks in the squatter camp decided they were going to take over Munsieville, and they attacked it, and we had to very quickly. I got a phone call here, and I organized people in South Africa to go and take the children out because the adults wouldn't leave. They said if they leave their homes, the blacks will take them over, and then they've got nowhere to go. The police wouldn't come in because they were scared. I mean, you know the police have hired private security firms to secure police stations at night because the police can't do it. So, you know, it could happen in the blink of an eye, Jeff.
I'm afraid I understand all too clearly what you're saying. I don't know where to go. I don't know. Why can't we have one American congressman or congresswoman make a statement? I don't understand it. I really don't. I really don't understand it. Unless they're all controlled to the extent that they're forbidden to do it by a certain small Middle Eastern country with an enormous amount of clout. What is Israel's current relationship with South Africa?
Very poor, because the Chinese and the communists have taken, the Russians have taken over almost everything in South Africa.
Well, then do we go to Vladimir Putin? Obviously, a great statesman.
Yeah, but the problem is that he has signed the contract for 6 new nuclear power stations in South Africa. The Russians are going to build them. And apparently, Zuma's cabinet reshuffle last week, there was a Russian delegation came to see him 2 days before. And it is rumored that the new cabinet was chosen by the Russians. So they're obviously on the side of Zuma or the blacks. So where do we go from here?
I don't know, but South Africa needs 6 more nuclear plants. Like it needs 40 million more blacks. This is crazy. No,
they can't even maintain their coal power stations.
No, this is crazy. This is crazy. Shame on Russia for selling these people blacks. I mean, there has to be a limit to the idea of making a buck with nuclear power. It's got to stop. You know, 75% of the insects in North America are gone now.
Yes.
I just put another story, and the same thing in England. They're getting the same kind of readings in nature preserves in England. 75 to 86% of the insects are gone.
Well, Jeff, this ties into this whole Hillary Clinton scandal right now, because South Africa has got uranium mines, and one of Zuma's buddies or his son bought this uranium mine, which then the staff and et cetera went on strike because they weren't paid. And so it's been sitting there derelict. Well, the Russians have now offered to buy it for about 100% more, well, 500% more than it's worth at present. So they've got America's uranium. They've got South Africa's uranium. Huh?
Yeah.
And even that doesn't make a stir.
I think we're really going to have to turn our focus to Vladimir Putin, Sergei Lavrov, to appeal to Sergei Lavrov to take an interest in South Africa. I mean, if they've got 6 nuclear power plants on the drawing boards, Lavrov ought to take an interest down there. They have to know about this. I know they have their hands full with other things, but maybe it's time to go to Russia.
Well, if America, Britain, and Europe are not going to do anything,
they're not.
We've got to turn somewhere else.
That's right. I think it's time.
Jeff, do you understand my apart from fury, my absolute total depression?
I don't know how you deal with it. Look, I think yes, of course I do, and I think the king needs to begin to write a formal letter as soon as he can. He can get counsel from whatever international experts he wants. He needs to write a formal letter to Vladimir Putin, as does the white community. They should all sign the letter saying there is a genocide pending here and we need your help.
Well, Jeff, what I don't understand is that there is an American embassy in Johannesburg, as I know to my horror, having dealt with them for 2 years to get here. Mm-hmm. They know. They were joint South African-American Defense Force maneuvers and exercises done last month.
Right.
They know. Why the silence?
Joint South African-American military Defense operations. Force. Yeah.
Yeah. They were a month or 2 months ago. I can't remember the exact date, but it was recent. So they know, Jeff, they know. And they know that China and Russia are buying South Africa. So what? What is the end game here?
I don't know. Maybe a letter to President Xi of China. They're in Africa. They're working in South America as well. The Chinese are all over Africa.
Yeah, they own half of South Africa.
Maybe.
Enormous city that's such an empty.
I think the king needs to begin to write formal letters of appeal. I think it's time.
Well, I will pass that message on to him and the queen tomorrow when I speak to them, because I'm at my wit's end, Jeff.
Yeah.
I don't know where we go
from
here.
This door we're knocking on is not going to open. Easily.
It's not.
We have the world's greatest statesman is Vladimir Putin. President Xi is a giant of a man on this planet. I think they need to both be contacted by the King. And I'll do everything I can to help. I'll put the letter up on the homepage. But I really think one needs to be written, signed by all parties who have agreed to create the Nation of Good Hope. It's going to happen.
Well, I am negotiating with the representative of the Bura Nation to come on our show, and I was wondering if you'd like him to come on to your show as well.
Oh, of course, sure.
Because the fact that it's not just the King now standing up and saying we've seceded, the other three nations involved need to stand up as well and be heard publicly.
Yeah.
Because people are just believing the secession.
All right. Well, one quick question. Have the Boers or the Euroconners stood up now with the King in sufficient numbers to call them a part of the secession?
Oh,
tough question.
You know, Jeff, if you look at people who live a 12 or 15-hour drive away from the Cape, and they've had their farm for 300 years in the family.
Right.
They are fence-sitting, I think, because to lock the door of that farm and walk away in the hope of a better life in the Cape is asking, it's a very big ask.
Well, they better consider, and I know they do, what their other fate is going to be if they don't. This has to happen. People have got to bury the differences. They've got to face reality that they're going to have to move. They're going to have to work with all three parties to this. And I really think that Vladimir Putin and President Xi and maybe even Modi in India. I don't know. But
yes,
something's
going to
happen.
Yes, well, India might be a good thing because the Indians were part of the Black economic empowerment. They were considered previously disadvantaged. Now, the new law takes them off that list.
Oh.
So Indians are no longer considered previously disadvantaged.
I got it. All right. Well, yes. It's time for them to come on board too, the coloreds. Yes, indeed.
Jeff, I've thought this whole thing through until I didn't have so much gray hair, I'd say I was going gray.
Yeah.
But my mind doesn't stop. I don't sleep at night. I'm desperate to find some sort of workable solution now.
Yeah, I really do believe we need an international figure, the likes of which I've mentioned, China, Russia, India. Somebody at the top has got to respond to the King. I think that that's appropriate, and I think it must be done. You've got nowhere else to turn right now. You've got to break through somewhere.
And you've been doing this for 10 years, and so have I, Jeff. Or more,
you've been doing it.
Yeah. So, and who's listened? We're preaching to the converted.
Well, if the King of a newly created country writes a letter of appeal pleading for recognition or help to these people, I think that's the next step that has to happen. I'll publish the letters on the homepage.
Okay, so I will
pass
check
it along.
Tomorrow.
All right, my best.
And I really thank you, Jeff, for keeping on this because, as I say, I'm at my wit's end. I don't know anymore.
I thoroughly understand. Let me know what happens, please.
I will definitely keep in touch. Thank you, Jeff.
All right, thanks, Karen. Okay, that's our program tonight. Another solid 3 hours, boy. You just put everything we can into it, and we will be back with you tomorrow night. Thank you, and we'll talk soon.